Blog Talk Radio.
Is right now?
Biden.
In what way?
Like we're on the verge of World War III if he doesn't stop what he's doing right now. The destruction of the economy, everything. Everything is a mess.
The economic numbers, the ones that we've relied on for decades to tell us where the direction of the country, are actually been pretty good lately. In what way do you anticipate World War III from what Biden's doing?
Because you have all the other countries coming together, pulling out of the American dollar and having meetings with one another without Biden being involved, and they have no respect for him.
Where do we know that to be true?
I've seen that all over. I mean, I watch news. I go on social media and get a lot of information off there because I don't trust the news sources a lot, you know?
I was going to ask you what the most dangerous thing in America is right now, but the most dangerous thing in America to me might be having this sign and that shirt at a Trump rally.
Well, when I've watched what's happened to our state and the fact that they are having a leadership, monumental leadership conference here, and it invited Trump to come to that, it just blows me away that there's that kind of stupidity in this state. I really apologize to the rest of the country.
What is the most dangerous thing happening in this country right now?
The invasion of all the people that are coming into our country right now. It's creating all kinds of issues. It's creating crime. It's creating economic hardship for the American people. It's just really destroying the country. That's the biggest thing.
We're a country of immigrants, right?
Well, we are a country of immigrants, but legal immigrants, not being funded and paid for by BlackRock and George Soros and all those big people out there.
But asylum seekers are legal immigrants, aren't they?
Yeah, if they're true asylum seekers. But to have the borders open, wide open, we know what it did to Europe. It's destroyed Europe, and it's what they want to do to this country. They want to bring down the United States.
We don't have open borders, right?
We do have completely open borders right now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well this evening. And we have, hopefully, a great show lined up for you.
Yes, we certainly do. The GOP told the world what they want to do. They want to turn Americans into a theocracy ruled by fascism. Are you going to just lie down and take it, or would you join us in a fight against right-wing tyranny? Democracy is fragile and in danger of ending the great American idea. The world looks at us for guidance and help. We are not perfect, but we have the best system of government compared to other countries. No political system is perfect, but we strive to build a more perfect union. Republicans and evangelicals are trying to destroy that and rule us using fear and religion. We will not allow them to, will we? Call in and state your case, 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Starting December 1st, we'll have the merchandise section live for you to buy things like T-shirts, adjustable baseball caps, coffee mugs, and so on. So we're glad you joined us tonight. Again, the number is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Okay, Lori. So you heard in that opening piece how, you know, crazy the right-wingers are, you know, the Trump supporters.
Yeah. It's not even that they're crazy. It's just that I have no patience for that anymore because the ignorance is so deep and the stupidity is off the charts. And, you know, they all basically say the same things. They sound like robots, you know. He's destroying the country. You know, he's destroying the world. You know, our economy is in the pits. I listen to Newsmax, and then I text my source, and that's Fox News. I mean, this is how these people think. They have no thinking skills. They don't know how to really look something up and be able to see that it's a lie or it's not a lie. They really don't.
And it's
a shame. And I get frustrated with these, with these people that go out like the Young Turks. I mean, and I know it's their job to do that, but I wish that they would be a little more, ask them, you know, different questions. And they can't answer them anyways, I guess, so there's no point to it. But it's frustrating to hear all that. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah, there are. Is there a way we can deprogram people like that, the way to think? Or is it too late?
Well, David, I had an experience with an old friend, and she definitely went down the rabbit hole during COVID. She got into all the conspiracy theories. She ended up in the hospital, and she's better now, but she does not watch the news at all, and she can't watch it because it just triggers everything. She was always a very nice, beautiful person, but very gullible, and believed what she heard from the sources that she listened to. So yes, it's hope, but you know, you have to want to get better as well. You know, you want to deprogram, so to speak.
And in this day and age, when you have so many sources, you know, left, right, center, you know, a good source is C-SPAN, for example. They're strictly down the middle, you know. So there's no excuse in this day and age where people just listen to all right-wing or all left-wing. You know, there's information out there through the wazoo, you know, and this paranoia that Trump is feeding on. He's speaking like Hitler and Mussolini, and it's dreadful. Yeah. It's causing anti-Semitism across the country. It's causing violence. It's causing people to, you know, go to their minds, basically. You know?
Yeah.
You know, if and when Trump, if he's a Republican nominee, loses in 2024, you know, I'm afraid what will happen, because 2021 on January 6th was like a dry run, basically. These people are so fucked out in their minds that I'm afraid that it's going to get worse, you know? And I haven't learned anything from it. And President Trump in 2025, if and when he's take the oath of office, one of the first things he may do is forgive those people who, you know, went in on a Capitol building on January 6, 2021 to disrupt democracy.
Yeah.
You know, I just fear that this country will go into another civil war over this idiot, this clown, this loser.
I listened to this one interview similar to the one we were just listening to, and he said that he thought that the election was definitely stolen, and if Trump does not win this election, that it is stolen. He said, I know they have ways to steal things. They have learned nothing. They don't know how the system works. They don't know how mail-in voting works. They don't know how the polling goes, you know, at the polls, how that works, how safe it is. They have no clue about anything. They just listen to this moronic man and follow him like he's some sort of god. but he's not. He is the devil.
Yeah, we'll have two people online soon, Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia and Elaine from Michigan. I'm going to let them know and, you know, hear what I have to say, basically. Can you say the dinosaurs are too late? Hey, welcome, Khalil and Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's
Hi,
working?
Khalil.
Thank you.
Hi.
How's everybody?
They're doing okay. One of the things that the guy that was interviewing them should have done was should have corrected them on the difference between the immigration system now and the immigration system a long time ago.
Yeah,
he didn't correct that.
You're right. And, you know, Khalil, that's the thing that bothers me is that they let them run on and they don't correct them, you know, or they don't give them, you know, other ideas as to, not to confuse them, but tell them straight up, you know, that's not what happened. This is what happened. And, you know, and that's what's frustrating about it. That's why I can't even listen to it anymore, because they don't. It's like they're trying to, the person that's interviewing, the Trumper, is basically letting them run on with their, you know, their craziness. And, you know, then they go on to the next person. And no, they shouldn't do that. They really shouldn't. But, you know, this is how they make money.
Okay, so George Santos, he is up for the chopping block, as we all know, that the United States House of Representatives, they had an ethics panel investigate George Santos, and he's expected to be expelled from Congress. We're hoping it was last Wednesday or Thursday, but I guess they have other things better to do. You know, I mean, well, I wouldn't say better, but because they're not doing nothing, basically. This is the biggest lame duck session since the Great Depression. And so Santos said he expects to be expelled from Congress in the coming days and wear it like a badge of honor. Quote, I know I'm going to get expelled when this expulsion resolution goes to the floor, said the New York Republican Friday on an X-Space hosted by conservative media personality Monica Matthews. Quote, I've done the math over and over, he said, laughing, and it doesn't look really good. So instead of, you know, shying away with embarrassment, he's going across media, especially the conservative media, wearing it as a badge of honor that he lied and betrayed his constituents and, you know, no sense of remorse for what he did, stealing people's credit cards, stealing people's identity, just to get elected based on a lie. And instead of Republicans, the writing the very first day, they should have expelled him, but no, because of numbers and everything, they decided to keep him and use him as one of the votes for them. You know, so the Ethics Committee released a 56-page report earlier this month that said that there was substantial evidence that Santos violated federal law and law, alleged Santos funneled large sums of money through his campaign and business to pay for his personal expenses, including on cosmetic procedures such as Botox at luxury stores Hermes and Ferragamo, on smaller purchases at OnlyFans and websites containing adult content, meals, parking, travel, and rent. You know, and imagine if a Democrat did that. Elaine, what do you think about George Santos? You know?
First of all, I think George Santos is the biggest joke that's been perpetrated on the American people. And the Republicans are not the same Republican Party going back to the 70s. Back in the 70s, that man would have never served. Once they found out what he was all about, he would have quietly resigned. They would have got him in a back room and they would have told him to resign. This is not a Republican Party. This is a fascist dictatorship party. It is ridiculous what's going on. And, you know, going back to those interviews, I've seen some of them, and they get to the point, the ones that are doing the interview, they'll correct them. They'll say, well, those are our people seeking asylum. And the person will answer, well, that isn't what I heard. That isn't what I know. I know what's going on. So you kind of shrug your shoulders because you want to bounce them off a wall. They aren't.
Yeah.
You can't seem to tell them anything. And I've seen the interviews where they correct them, and it just does. It's like spitting in the wind and having the spit come back and hit you in the face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as far as George Santos goes, I am so glad that he's finally going to leave. At least it's one down.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, he's probably, I'm sure that he's in deep trouble, you know. And he deserves, and he does deserve, you know, to go and have these indictments. He's got 23 federal charges. Up against him, has pleaded not guilty. So, and he is defending himself, you know, against the allegations. You know,
and when one is expelled from the United States Congress, whether House or Senate, they lose a congressional pension. So that's a good thing coming out of it. And as you said, 23, you know, indictments and everything. Al Capone got one indictment, and you see how much years he spent in prison. You know, Donald Trump has 91, so it wouldn't surprise me if he got 700 years or more. You know,
since he's such a fraud, why doesn't he pay all the wages back? He hasn't done anything. All he's done is take the pay.
And that's why the law will get him. You know, and you know, Donald Trump. Well, I'm not even going to name Donald Trump because, you know, we waste so much time on the show mentioning his name even. But it's George Santos. He's going to be made an example of. And that's why so many people are not running for re-election on both sides, because there's like a staggering non-movement in terms of making policy, voting on issues to become law. Nothing is happening. Yeah. You know,
and
the voters out there are frustrated. And this is why, you know, people like RFK Jr. and Jill Stein from the Green Party getting more leverage, because people are saying there ought to be something better than Democrats and Republicans, because we have them in there now and nothing is happening. Not the fault of Democrats, because Democrats, led by Jeffries from New York, is doing their best to move America forward, but Republicans stagger and say no on everything. And they have the votes in the House, not in the Senate. But hopefully by November 2024, that will change. You know, because this is ridiculous what's happening in the country now.
And, you know, for some of them that are there to do their job, you know, I can't blame them for resigning, because it must be a miserable time when they're in there, you know, fighting and cursing at each other. And, you know, they act like they're a bunch of lunatics in there. So they're not getting them. And, yeah, it's probably frustrating to them. And they probably think, I don't need this shit. You know, I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing. They you know, some of them probably did go in there with high hopes to change things because they really thought that they could do that job. But with what we have right now in our government, you know, these MAGA Republicans, especially in the House, it's shameful. It's shameful. We've got to get them out. They have to be weeded out.
And speaking about shameful, Marjorie Taylor Greene came out with a book recently called MTG.
Yeah.
And basically what this book is about is a different conspiracy theories that's been debunked and some new conspiracy theories. And I hear it's not doing well, being sold. You know, and a friend of mine at work tried to read the book, and it was excruciating. It was painful. You know, and I don't think she even found a ghostwriter for that book. And I'm surprised, frankly, that she could even write, much less read. You know, so if anybody out there has read the book, call in and tell us, you know, what you thought of the book and everything. You know, it's dreadful that like somebody like her and Bobo the Clown in Colorado are actually serving in Congress, because we need better people. We need more educated people, not idiot lackeys like them who don't know the left hand from the right hand, or, you know, they absolutely know nothing. They're dunce. They're stupid. They're illiterate. Why are they in U.S. Congress?
Because they're there, David, to cause conflict, division, hate, and they are there to serve the orange monster. That's what they're there for. Project 2020. So if you haven't heard about Project 2025 and you want to learn about the plan that the Heritage Foundation and these Republicans have put together with 30 other conservative think tanks and a few million dollars, go to our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. It is there. It's all broken down. It won't take you a long time to read it, but it will awaken you. You will understand mm-hmm. what this is. And the plan is mm-hmm. to destroy our government, breaking it down a piece at a time. And it's a 180-day yes. strategy is what
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's not 30 conservative think tanks, but 50 in all, along with the Heritage Foundation. And mm-hmm. the Heritage Foundation get money from the Koch brothers and other people like that.
Yep.
And it's dangerous for our country when, you know, a think tank is so powerful. You know, they're the movers mm-hmm. and shakers. And we'll have to get money over politics and try to revive the Supreme Court. And the only way I see us doing that is if after the mm-hmm. election in 2024, the Democrats, if and when they have the majority, expanded from 9 seats to 15 seats. That's the only way that we could change
yeah.
things to go back to normal or any sort of normalcy. Because what
mm-hmm.
we're having now is a Supreme Court with no checks and balances that do what they want to do, but courts below them, you know, that they have watchdogs to say that, oh, you know, you can't get gifts from lobbyists and you can't do certain
mm-hmm.
things. You know, when you have cases in front of you and the people who are donating to you in terms of, you know, vacations and expensive
mm-hmm.
Gifts, you know, you don't have
mm-hmm.
a conflict of interest. And any judge at the lower court who accept those gifts are punished severely. So why not the Supreme Court?
Mm-hmm.
Why we don't have checks and balances for them? That's absurd.
Yep. Well, they need to get on it, you know. And I'm sure they will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
yeah.
know, Project 25, you wouldn't even have to, well, it would be good to do some research, but if you don't have the time, all you have to do is listen to what Johnson has
mm-hmm.
to say, our new Speaker
mm-hmm.
of the House,
mm-hmm.
listen to the snippets that the orange whatever he is, says at his rallies, he is already spelling it out. He's
yes,
going to
yes.
get rid of everything. Well, what,
yes.
when you get rid of everything, what do you have? You have a
mm-hmm.
dictatorship. I mean, come
yeah.
on, people. You aren't that stupid, are you?
At this point, I'm not sure.
I know what. That's why I stated it the way I did. You're not that stupid,
mm-hmm.
are you? A question
yeah.
with a question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I have recently come into a new social media site, and
mm-hmm.
the people they were sort of laid back. I've gathered that at the beginning they were sort of laid back. They
mm-hmm.
didn't like what they saw. They didn't think there
mm-hmm.
was that kind of an emergency. But all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden, they're getting very deep into digging and
mm-hmm.
bringing out things that some of the other sites, I think they're getting tired on some of the other sites.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing out some pretty darn good facts. So
good.
There
mm-hmm.
are some new social media sites where the people have said, wait a minute. We've got to get together and see what the hell is going on because we're just not getting it through the media like we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know extremist MAGA Republicans brought chaos and crisis and confusion to the House of Representatives. The most things
mm-hmm.
that they've done is legislating about a woman's right to choose, religion in public schools, things of that nature, culture war. And it's obvious that, you know, the governor of Florida, DeSantis, is going to lose in New Hampshire, and he may stick around till Iowa caucuses, because the latest polls show that Nikki Haley, the former ambassador to the United Nations, for the United States, leapfrog ahead of him. So she's currently, if you take picture the Trump out of the picture, she's a current front runner, so to speak. And none of those candidates on that stage for the Republicans in 2024 have a ghost of a chance to get a nomination, especially Nikki Haley. So basically, they're running for political position, and she's probably running for vice presidential pick. And there's a rush to cash the hole onto the 32 toss-up seats held by Republicans. And Democrats need only 5 flip seats to reclaim the majority. So the latest polls show that we hold a narrow lead in the battle for the control of Congress. Hopefully we can get more than the 5 seats necessary to gain back the House of Representatives. But do you think that Republicans in these toss-up 32 seats, pumping money in, do they stand a chance of winning a majority of those 32 seats, or are the people fed up enough to vote against them and put Democrats in office so Democrats can get a majority? What do you think, Lori?
We just saw what happened in the special elections a couple weeks ago. And like in Ohio, Pennsylvania, with the West abortion, et cetera. We saw Democrats won. You know, they won. And if you pay attention to what Trump is saying, he's talking about a national abortion ban, a Muslim ban, family separation, mass detention camps, tax cuts for the ultra wealthy, replace civil servants with MAGA loyalists, guns in class, order prosecutions of political opponents, which is only revenge, and then pardon January 6th insurrectionists. That is what he plans on doing. Is there anything in there that will help the American people on a daily basis? Not one single thing. And it's all negative, hurtful, like tax cuts to the ultra wealthy. Why? They're not paying anything as it is, or barely paying next to nothing as it is. And we have a deficit budget because of the wealthy, because they don't pay their taxes. If they paid their taxes, we could balance our budget every single time. Why can't people understand this? Why? What is so hard about this? There's nothing. So vote Democrat, just even if you have to hold your nose because, you know, you're on the fence, but vote for your own special interest. Vote for your family. Vote for your children. Vote for your grandchildren. Vote for the future of this country. Because if you don't, I don't know how we'll ever get back to any sort of semi-normal in this country. That's exactly what we're going towards. It's
indeed.
A train heading forward, and it's just not stopping. And we have to stop this train. Have to stop it.
Unless we gain the majority in 2024, and we're going to gain the majority, we're going to have to move fast. And one of the things we're going to have to do is bring back the fairness doctrine. We got to get rid of this bullshit that everybody's got an opinion as to what's going on. You report the damn news the way it's done. If Jack killed three people, that's exactly what Jack did. He killed three people. Not Jack wanted to kill 10. If you don't know it, you don't say it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to get back to reporting the news the way it is. And the ignorant ones that don't understand the news, they don't have to have it explained to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Tommy Tuberville just said that the reason he's blocking hundreds of essential military nominations is because he thinks women in the military may try to get abortions after birth. Is he delusional, crazy, or both?
What does that even mean? How can you get an abortion after birth? What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know what he's smoking, but he better get his money back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with him. He's the next one that needs to be ousted. He really does. He's a dangerous man. He is a dangerous
Khalil,
man. He's got.
What do you think about Tuberville talking about, you know, abortions after birth? Is he delusional or crazy or both?
He's both. It doesn't really make sense to say that. And then one of the things I noticed about right-wing Republicans is that they a lot of times they go against their own, they defeat their own arguments with things.
Elaine, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
Go ahead.
Yeah, do you think the people of Alabama will wake up and get rid of this man who has no business in the Senate?
I don't know. It depends on how bad the gerrymandering is done. That has been brought up quite a bit on social media the last couple of days, that that they've had massive drives, but they've looked at the maps and they're wondering how they can get around the gerrymandering. And that was also talked about in Ohio, that they don't know if they can get rid of, his name, for some reason, I just lost it. Anyways, Jim Jordan. Yeah. That they don't know if they can get rid of Jim Jordan because of his district is set up in such a way that it's almost impossible for him to lose. The people in those areas are working on it. They're working hard on it.
I know they are. Yeah. Ohio is working really hard. But I have a question. Like in Michigan here, we are all going to get mail-in ballots. You know, everyone can get a mail-in ballot here. Why is it, can other states get mail-in ballots if they request one? I mean, wouldn't that be a way to get around the gerrymandering if you have a mail-in ballot sent to you? You can request one? Am I thinking of it wrong? Is that possible?
Gerrymandering is to set up the precincts in such an area such a way that it's slided towards a Republican or a Democrat. Your mail-in ballots they don't make a difference.
It won't make a difference. That's what I was
wondering. No, it doesn't make a difference. They've got it figured out by the numbers.
Mm.
In other words, I understand it's so bad in some areas that they go down a street. Three houses are on one side. Three houses are on the other side. Three houses are on this side. And what that is three houses are Democrats, Democrats, and the four houses here are Republican. So you got four. You make sure you get all your Republicans on both sides of the street so that it outnumbers the Democrats. And they will take these lines and they will take them from one side of the street to the other. That I understand. That's how bad it is.
It was that way in Michigan.
There was areas that were that way in Michigan. They would take they would take a half a block, and then they would cross the street and they would take the other half a block. That was to make sure that a particular party had those votes. All it would guarantee is people coming out to the polls. And that's what the talk about has been in Ohio. The lines are drawn. The lines are drawn mathematically. If we get rid of the Electoral College, we wouldn't have a need for gerrymandering.
Yeah. I know.
That would be another thing that we wouldn't have to worry about. We could get down to helping the people.
there's something else that we should talk about, because this kind of surprised me today when I read this. This is just in case we have an electoral college tie. What that means is if both the Democrat and the Republican each get 269 electoral college votes, right? So the tie between the two, however, much of the same will come into play if a third-party independent candidate wins through electoral votes to prevent any candidate in the race from reaching the required 270 electoral threshold. But the 2024 Interactive Electoral College map allows you to assign electoral college votes to a third party. So it takes 270 to win. And if neither candidate gets a majority of the 538 electoral votes, the election for president is decided in the House of Representatives. Let me say this again. The election for the president is decided in the House of Representatives, which each state delegation having one vote. So a majority of 26 states is needed to win. Senators would elect the vice president, which each senator having a vote. A majority of senators, 51, is needed to win. The state House delegations can cast their vote for president among the three candidates receiving the most electoral votes, while senators are limited to top the two candidates in the votes for vice president. Now, we have to remember who is in the House of Representatives this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have who? We have the MAGAs in there. And guess what they will all do? They will all vote for Trump, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we don't know what these third-party candidates are going to do with the delegates that they get.
Exactly. So, just listen. So let me go on, because this really surprised me. This is a brand new article. It is important to note that an apparent tie when all the states are called does not mean that there isn't actually a tie. The electors meet on December 17th, 2024, the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December, to cast their votes. Only about half the states have laws requiring the electors to vote for the popular vote winner. It is possible that an elector could cast his or her vote for another person. We saw this in the 2016 election when seven electors were faithless in a 260-69 tie, as long as a rogue vote wasn't for the major candidate in the race. This wouldn't be an issue, but both candidates would still be short of the required 270.
Mm-hmm.
This really bothers me, you know. So and it goes on to say, go ahead, Davis. Yes?
Well, so more than likely, the election would remain undecided after the electors voted on the Congress meets joint session on January 6, 2025, to count the electoral votes. And this counts happen whether the election is chosen or not, or close or not. If no candidate has reached 270 electoral votes, then the House and the Senate take over and elect the president and vice president, respectively. So who would win the presidency in a tie? In this partisan era, it is reasonable to assume, at least to start, that the vast majority of members would vote along party lines. As late as September 2023, Republicans hold a 22-26 edge in House delegations. Two states, Minnesota and North Carolina, are evenly split. However, the members of Congress elected in November 2024 and seated in January 2025 will take on this responsibility. And to help you monitor the House delegation split in January 2025, I don't know, it would be dreadful. Would it cause a constitutional crisis, you think? Note that the majority is not reached in the House and the chamber need the chamber needs to keep at it until the tie is broken. So if you have a deadlock and everything, they keep voting until there is somebody who reached 270, the threshold. You know,
and
do you think
mm-hmm.
if you
and
think that happens? So go ahead.
Well, we just have to say that there is a time limit also. It is at noon Eastern time on January 20th when this has to be
mm-hmm.
decided.
Mm-hmm.
So the vice president becomes acting president until such time as the House elects
mm-hmm.
a president.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what my thought is that this needs to go on our website as well, and it's going to go on our website.
Mm-hmm.
My other thought is that we have to explain to people that they have to vote. Their vote counts.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think your vote does not count for anything. Don't think that your neighbor is going to vote, and then she decides or he decides not to vote. You,
mm-hmm.
your vote counts no matter what. One vote
mm-hmm.
will maybe make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Just never
mm-hmm.
know. So it is imperative that we get people out to vote and vote for President Biden and Kamala Harris, if they are
mm-hmm.
the nominees,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's dreadful. I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's a tie, as you said, a Speaker of a House will become acting president. Can you imagine
mm-hmm.
that douchebag who is the Speaker of a House now being acting president?
Yes. He will make everybody pray. You know, it's already bad enough that, you know, he's making the members, you know, have a prayer meeting every single morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean it's bad. I'm just saying if they really don't want to do that, they shouldn't have to do it. But he's making
mm-hmm.
them do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm talking about. You know, your choice. You have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to pray in the morning with Mike Johnson, you shouldn't have to. You should be able to sit it out. That's
mm-hmm.
my thought. And we know that's what's
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah.
And
so the next thing we should focus on is
mm-hmm.
Republicans are trying to find a new way, a new term for pro-life to stave off more
yeah.
electoral losses. As we saw in West Virginia and we saw in Ohio and Pennsylvania, that, you know, they lost badly. And, you know, at a closed-door meeting of Senate Republicans this past week, the head of the Super PAC, closely aligned with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, presented poll results that suggested voters are restricting differently or reacting differently to commonly used terms like pro-life and pro-choice in the wake of last year's Supreme Court decision and overturned Roe versus Wade. And the polling, which NBC News has not independently reviewed, was made available to senators Wednesday by former McConnell aide Stephen Law and showed that pro-life no longer resonates with voters. You know, so do you think if they find a new term that people would, you know, be fooled and still vote Republican, or it doesn't really matter if you're in a red state and, you know, evangelical and Christian and what have you, no matter what, you vote Republican?
Well, that part, yes, David. I mean, that's a given, you know, because that's what they do over and over again. But I don't think, what are they going to say? How are they going to change the narrative? Everybody already knows, you know, I mean, people aren't stupid. We all know that the Republicans are pro, you know, they're pro-life and, you know, and the Democrats are pro-choice. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's very clear. So what wording can they all of a sudden come up with? What term to make people think differently? I have no clue. I don't know. You know,
mm-hmm.
and see, this just shows you that they know that being pro-life, you know, the abortion issue is probably, it's probably close to the number one issue in this country. women's mm-hmm. choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they screwed up really bad, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going
mm-hmm.
to fix it? They're not going to be able to fix it. It's done. In some states,
mm-hmm.
the laws are already on their books. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
horrible. They can't even
mm-hmm.
leave their states to go have an abortion. So how are they going to fix this with changing a few words? They're not going to be able to.
Exactly.
They're not.
Exactly. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say your first name and where you're calling from. And remember to visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have different blog articles. We'll have different cooking recipes. You know, just drop us a hello when you go there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a new caller from, I think it's New York. Is it New York?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in Nassau County and Orange and Putnam and Rockland, Suffolk.
Okay.
So you'll get this caller soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? 914 error code. Hello. I guess the person would rather listen or shy. Yes, ma'am. So, you know, back to this thing. Republicans speak of both sides of the mouth because they say, oh, yes, we're
mm-hmm.
pro-life. We should protect the baby and everything. But once that child
mm-hmm.
is born, then they say,
mm-hmm.
oh, okay, you're on your own. You know, they're not for teaching sex education in schools. They're not for birth control, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the religious right in this country you know, they're not for child care. You know, a religious right is so deep in the Republican Party that they control what the Republican Party does and what they say and everything. And any candidate who goes against what they say, then they're out through primary. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no solution to this thing. And 2024 coming up, we'll see what happened in West Virginia and Pennsylvania and other states that people have woken up. But hey, you know, Republicans don't really care. They use it as a wedge issue every 2 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tired of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we have... go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Senator Josh Hawley, you know, the
mm-hmm.
Republican from Missouri,
mm-hmm.
said that the polling made it clear to him that more to be more specific is needed in talking about abortion. And he went on to say, and I quote, many voters think pro-life means you're for no exceptions in favor of abortion ever, ever. And pro-choice now means can mean a many number of things. So the conversation was mostly oriented around how voters think of those labels that they've shifted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to talk about the issue, you need to be specific, said Hawley. Puke on you, Hawley.
Mm-hmm.
You can't assume that everybody knows what it means, he added. They probably don't. That didn't make any sense. So abortion now is banned in 14 states, and several others have pursued restrictions. 11 states, including Missouri, have enacted abortion bans with no exceptions for rape and incest. So how do they think they're going to fix this? They're not. They dug themselves a hole, you know. I mean, 14 states, that's not, you know, that's a large amount of states in this country. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
they've dug this hole now. And how do they think they're
mm-hmm.
going to get out of this? By changing a few words? I don't think so. You don't think those people in those 14 states, these women are mad? Of course they are.
Yes, and Senator Todd Young from Indiana, he summarized
mm-hmm.
Wednesday's meeting as being focused on pro-baby policies. He was asked whether
mm-hmm.
senators were encouraged to use a term other than pro-life. Young said his pro-baby descriptor, quote, was just a term of my creation to demonstrate my concern for babies. You know, so, okay, even if the baby is dead inside a woman's body, they prefer that the woman still have the baby, you know. You know, they will poison the woman's body. So you have to have an abortion. You know, in the case of rape and incest, people like him say, hey, you know, it's God's will, have the baby. Would you want to see that baby for the rest of your life growing up, knowing that somebody incestualized you or raped you? You know, I wouldn't want to, you know, if I were a woman, to have that baby, you know. So, you know, my God. So Santos, who attended the law presentation, said he encouraged Republicans to be as specific as possible, like you said. And, quote, people require more inept or in-depth discussion. You can't get away with a label anymore, said Cynthia Loomis, Republican senator from Wyoming. Quote, what we've learned is that you have to dive in and talk to people about very specifically where you are on the subject if you're running for public office. Yeah, so, I mean, in the long run, you know, Republicans made that issue, so it's a big issue now. But, you know, there are other things besides, you know, a woman's choice to choose. It's important up there. You know, but what about infrastructure? You know, what about creating jobs, insourcing jobs? What about, you know, immigration? Republicans and Democrats for the past 40 years haven't done anything about comprehensive immigration reform, you know? So the national strategists. Yeah, we need to focus on other things and leave women to decide with their doctors what to do with their body. Her body, her choice. Nobody else's.
Yeah.
You know?
David, may I add something to that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. They have blurred the lines horribly. A woman can have a miscarriage and in some states and go for a DNC, and she is going to be put up on charges for having an abortion.
Yeah.
They have blurred the lines. Nobody else has.
You're absolutely right. And if you do have, and if you do, you know, if you do have a DNC, you're right, Elaine. That is what they consider that. But also, the mother could die. Because what happens to the fetus is that it basically rots inside of you. I mean, it sounds gross, but it rots inside, and then you go septic. And when you go septic, if you don't get the correct medical attention, then you will die. I mean, you will die. There's nothing else to say about it except for that, you know?
Well, that's where those two lawsuits are coming from. The fetus had died in the woman's body, and they were not allowed to do. They were not allowed to have a DNC and or an abortion. I don't know what month of women were in, and they ended up getting septic because of it. And this is what the Republican men, M-E-N men, have done. They've blurred the lines. A woman can't even go and get a DNC when she has had a miscarriage.
Yeah. And for those that do not know what a DNC is, it is just a simple procedure that they go in and they clean out the fetus.
They take out the placenta.
And the placenta of the fetus, and make sure that there is no infection. You take antibiotics. I know because this happened to me. So, it did happen to me a long time ago. And we have to understand that it's dangerous. I mean, not every woman's pregnancy. It's just when someone has a simple operation, and sometimes that simple operation goes wrong. For whatever reason, it's a fluke. The same thing can happen to a pregnant woman. Something can go wrong. And they have to make, there has to be exceptions for that. That is absolutely ridiculous. Women.
There's a lot of naive women out there, so I just wanted to bring that up. Also, a woman can get pregnant in the tube, which is fetus is not going anywhere because of the fact that you're pregnant inside of the tube where the egg comes out, and that will kill the mother. If that's let go, that will kill the mother. If that's let go, there is the possibility of the woman never, ever being able to conceive after that.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, I'm so sorry that you went through that, Lori.
Yeah, yeah. It was a hard time. And, you know, the funny thing is that the hospital that I was supposed to have the baby, and this was early on in my pregnancy, but it was a Catholic hospital at the time. It was St. Mary's or something, St. Mary's in the area that I live in. And the doctor that I had kept on telling me, when I would do the testing to see if I was pregnant, it was always positive. Of course it's positive. Mm-hmm. Because, the baby was still there. You know, the fetus was still there. Everything was still there.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby, there was not growing. So I had to go and find another doctor at a non-affiliated hospital. It had nothing to do with being Catholic at that time. And they did the DNC for me. And it was at the last minute because I was very sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very lucky that we found this doctor. So I know what it's like. So you have to understand, all women do not have pregnancies that do not have problems come up. They do. Some have to stay in bed, or they can have, they'll lose the baby. There's so many things. So we cannot say, if you cannot have an abortion, you just can't say that. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Let these women just end. Their spouse or their boyfriend or their doctor or whomever they trust, let them talk about it and let them decide what they want to do with their body. And they have to live with that decision. It's not my business, your business, anyone else's business, just the people that are involved at that. That's how I look.
Elaine, you're making a point.
Oh, I already did.
Oh,
yes,
okay. I thought you had something else to say. So now, voters.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
I was going to say I'm excited that we have a new caller from New York. And if you want to say hi, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess
go
of course
ahead,
you'd rather listen. Yes, so with immigration I brought up earlier, voters who want to control the border, but do they want Trump immigration roundups and detention camps? You know, because it's a big thing in the Trump campaign now, and even in the Project 2025 thing, and even though Americans support immigration, they have been willing to accept tougher prescriptions for enforcement, and their willingness could test how far hardliners go in a 2024 election cycle with anti-immigration proposal. Democrats and Republicans have been joining drumbeat that there's a crisis at the border. The number of people at the Border Patrol says it encounters hit record levels. So amid all this, former President Trump promises to expand on the hardline immigration policies of his first term, setting off alarm bells among immigration advocates, and even though some Republican conservatives, Trump has escalated his language with declarations that immigrants were poisoning the blood of our country, echoing Nazi rhetoric, proposing such drastic measures as massive deportation sweep modeled after the Eisenhower-era Operation Wetback, which was racist, and calling for detention camps that some see as similar to Japanese internment camps. What do you think about that, Lori? Isn't that gross and
it's
inhumane?
It's appalling. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is inhumane. There's not enough adjectives for me to express.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so worried about immigrants in this country. And we've talked about this many times. And we know that they do the jobs that other Americans do not want to do. But beyond that, these people are here because the countries that they're coming from, a lot of them, they don't have a future. They don't have a life. Do you think that they would cross these borders and walk all these miles and knowing that when they get here, they might be refused, to be in our country and mistreated unless they were desperate, and I mean desperate. So why can't they be humane about it? We have room in this. And the other thing that I see, they're so worried about immigrants, but we have a homeless problem in this country, a desperate homeless problem in this country, and no one talks about it. No one. And Republicans, of course, would never do anything about the homeless situation. Never. Mm-hmm. They're worried about these immigrants coming in, but they're not worried about the homeless people that sit on, that, you know, sleep on the streets in front of, you know, stores and bars and restaurants in the city because they have no place else to go. You never hear a peep about that, do you? No.
Right. And it, my experience in New Mexico is that, you know, a lot of veterans of wars, you know, are homeless people. And instead of focusing on helping those people, you know, it's just, I don't know how to put it in words, but, you know, when somebody fight for the country and serve the country, you know, they should be treated with the utmost respect.
Absolutely.
And we're not having that in America, you know.
You know,
it's hurtful.
Back. Yes, and they come back and they've lost their homes because they can't pay for them. You know, their families are. I mean, it's a disgrace the way we treat some of our veterans, and they don't get the proper health care that they deserve. They don't get.
And,
you know.
And one of the things Republicans.
What about the disposable kids on the street? You know what I mean by that, don't you?
No.
The children that people have that they're in the way, they're a bother, and they open the door and they tell them to get the hell out, hit the bricks. There's
and
a lot of those kids on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And the Republicans don't seem to care about their lives.
No.
Yeah, they call themselves pro-life.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny, David, because they now they know they have to get away from that word because they are not pro-life in any way or form, and it has nothing, a lot of it has nothing to do with babies. It has to do with human beings, and they don't care about human beings in general.
Okay, so do you think in District 3, New York, that DeSantis going to be expelled, yes. Do you think the Democrats can take that seat?
Oh, I sure hope so. After the experience that they just had with Santos, I would say yes. Would say yes. You know, but I'm 100% sure. But, you know, that would be my feel.
Because a very popular Democrat had a seat before. His name slipped me just now, but I think that the Democrats can win back that seat and everything. You know, it'd be good for New York, it'd be good for the country, and we're good for Democrats because we need all the votes we can get to stop this madness with this new House Speaker and everything. You know? And this new House Speaker is alarming because, you know, last week we did it on a show where we spoke about his son, you know, monitoring his porn intake. He calls himself a Christian, but yet still he watches porn. I mean, hey, I'm not judgmental, to each their own. What a problem I have with this guy is that he preaches one thing but does another thing and come down on people who does, you know, what is not Christian. I have a real problem with that, but go ahead, Lori.
Well, you know, you said the son, they monitor each other's porn. And his son is 17. Think about that for 1 minute. That just tells you everything that you want to know about this man. He is probably the biggest hypocrite that we have right now, you know, in a place of power in this country. It's pretty sad.
Frightening.
And he's the one that goes to church. You know, it is. It's more than frightening. And the more you read about him, the more insane it gets. But I think, you know, hopefully they'll catch up to him like they caught up to Santos. So we shall see.
Yeah. And for listeners, listen, if you watch porn, hey, that's you. You know, knock yourself out. You know, it's your business. Do what you want to do that makes you happy in your own home. Well, if you're running for public office as a Christian, you know, don't be a hypocrite like these Republicans. You know, say, oh, gayness is wrong. You know, it's an abomination. Or a porn is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's an abomination. It's against the Bible. But behind closed doors, you're doing the very same thing. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your 14-year-old son or 17-year-old son. You know, goddamn, mm-hmm. man. I mean, the hypocrisy. Imagine if a Democrat did that. Wouldn't hear about it till, you know, would hear about it till the end of time.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be on every 5 minutes. It would be, you know, repeated in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you know, this Mike Johnson is. Oh, and he also went to Mar-a-Lago, I think, last week, and
yes.
he of course had to go to get his marching orders and to kiss the ring. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's appalling as well. That is appalling as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, do you think that you know, a big if here? If Trump gets elected again, do you think that we'll have internment camps like how Japanese and Italians had back in the 40s? The private persons will have record.
David, I think that they will do everything that they have in their Project 2025 list. Absolutely, I do. Will they get it done in 180 days? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they will absolutely go down that list, and that will be one of the things. They have been harping about, you know, the borders for how long, And they don't want to get together in a bipartisan way to fix the problem. And now President Biden has for, I want to say it was 110 billion dollars, don't quote me, in that area, and it's for the borders, it is for Ukraine, and for Israel. Now, we have to remember that when they just passed this last budget deal, you know, that was a big joke with Mike Johnson, those three things were eliminated, and President Biden signed it because it was on the very last day. And if he wouldn't have signed it, so they fixed it, so that he wouldn't have signed it, we would have been in a government shutdown. So now, in January, they get to start all over again, and he's asked for this money, and Lord knows what they're going to want from him.
And we're just
this is no different than how Trump ran his businesses. He tried to bankrupt. He bankrupted everything he touches. So now he wants to bankrupt this country.
Sell out to Russia and China.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely right. Yes. You know.
There's a big kickback for him. So I want to tell the people out there listening, remember, it didn't start with gas chambers when Hitler did it. It started with politicians dividing the people with us versus them. It started with intolerance and hate speech when people stopped caring. You know, so people became desensitized and turned a blind eye. And I fear that if Trump can come back to power and Republicans gain a majority, the very same thing will happen. He's talking very Hitlerian. He's talking what Mussolini said. About vermin and everything. So, you know, I suspect what happened in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy to happen in America. And it's going to reach a point where, you know, people are so sick and tired of politics already that people like RFK Jr. is getting 24 points, percentage points, when you do polls and everything in Michigan and the Midwest. You know, Michigan is an important state, like Wisconsin and Ohio.
Yes, it is.
You know, so with a third-party candidate like RFK Jr. running on his name and getting such high poll numbers for a third-party candidate, we haven't seen that since Teddy Roosevelt. You know, it's really, really concerning. You know,
what's really
the only thing you know about candidate is basically his last name And what we do know about him, he's a kook, basically. You know, he's against taking immunization against COVID and other diseases, saying that it will change up your DNA. A lot of far-reaching things, you know. So go ahead. Somebody else wants to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say what's really concerning is we can parallel this to how Hitler did it. I wasn't worried when Trump said the Mexicans, because I wasn't Mexican. I wasn't worried when Trump said the Muslims, because I'm not Muslim. I wasn't worried when Trump said the Jews, I'm not Jewish. You better wake up. There's three of you already out there. The rest of us will be right in his line, in his line.
Believe it.
So he's already picked out three nationalities.
And what does Trump plan for a second term? So here are a few things. Invoking the Insurrection Act to quell any demonstration on his first day. Installing 50,000-plus pre-vetted loyalists across the country in government. And pardoning himself of any and all federal criminal charges as it relates to January 6th and other federal charges he has, but he has no power over state charges like in Georgia, what's happening with the RICO case. You know, he's in a lot of problems there. And the case in New York where he didn't pay any taxes and all his businesses are about to be closed for good. You know, so, you know, it's an uphill battle. And I feel that there's a two-tier system in justice where, you know, Trump gets in the way with everything. He's broken the gag order on many occasions. A regular person would do that, would be in prison waiting until the trial is over. But no, Trump's a former president, so he gets special treatment. And, you know, it just rubbed me the wrong way and other people out there the wrong way that an irresponsible person like Trump gets away with it time and time again. When will they throw the book at him saying, hey, enough is enough, you know, you should know better by now. You're a former president. You know, will that ever happen where if he breaks the gag order again, they throw him in prison for a long time in terms of when the term's done?
He has broken the gag order again. He went after the clerk in New York again. So that's why they're discussing it right now. And they're going to probably have a decision coming up soon. And he should be gagged, in my opinion, with duct tape. That's what he's been gagged with, duct tape. If anything else, duct tape. I'm going to let him walk, go around the country. I don't care. But put duct tape on his mouth because that's what he needs. He doesn't know how to shut up. Only knows how to project. And it's nothing good to listen to.
Exactly. So let's compare economic performances on the Democratic and Republican administrations. 10 of the last 11 U.S. recessions between 1953 and 2020 began under Republican presidents. And of these, the most statistically significant difference are in real GDP growth, unemployment rates, stock market annual return, and job creation rates. So the economic performances on the Democrats and Republicans, every time the Republicans mess up, they call themselves fiscal conservatives, but well, no, that's just words, and words don't have any meaning with them. And since World War II, the United States economy has performed worse on average under the administration of Republican presidents and Democrats. So the reason for this are debated, and the observation applies to economic viabilities, including job creation, GDP growth, stock market returns, personal income growth, and corporate profits. The unemployment rate has fallen on an average under Democratic presidents, while it has risen on average under Republican presidents. Budget deficits relative to the size of the economy were low on average under Democratic presidents. So Democrats are a better manager of the economy than Republicans. That's what history states between 1953 to 2020. You know, why do you think the electorate believe that Republicans are better fiscally responsible than Democrats? history proves otherwise.
Because they have been saying that time and time again. They repeat it every single time. They are fiscally conservative. And I keep asking, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Because when you have, you know, 10 of the 11 last recessions began under Republican presidents, that doesn't mean that you're fiscally responsible, does it? Absolutely not. So it's another thing that they have done through the years to the narrative is that they're better at, you know, running the budget, the numbers, whatever they want to call it, than the Democrats, which is a lie. And it's been proven, like you said, David, it's been proven time and time again. And it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. And I have an interesting statistics here, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It was summarized by the Washington Post. It said for the 13 presidents beginning with Truman, total job creation was about $70.5 million. And that was seven Democratic presidents compared to other Republican presidents. Six Republican presidents that created 29.1 million jobs. You know, so the Democratic presidents were in office a total of 429 months with 164,000 jobs per month added on an average, while the Republican presidents were in office 475 months, which is longer, with a total of 61,000 jobs added per month on average. So this monthly average rate was what, about 2.4 times faster on the Democratic presidents. So, you know, when people like Fox Business Report saying that, you know, Republican presidents are fiscally responsible, can they explain when George W. Bush was running that war in Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, what we got out of it within days after leaving in Iraq, it went back to normal where the Taliban was there running things. In Afghanistan, where the withdrawal started under Trump and it finished under President Biden, you know, it went back to normal. So all these billion-dollar wars over years, you know, started by Republican presidents, didn't reap a lot. You know, another thing is the outsourcing of jobs where, you know, other countries in developing countries, like in like Taiwan and other places, you know, you have textile industry. You know, they don't have any labor unions in those countries, so you can, you know, pay the workers pennies upon the hour, you know, and pay them low wages compared to America, where, you know, you have labor laws and you have unions who fight for workers and everything. You know, so Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and other Democratic presidents insourced jobs, brought jobs back with incentives. But Republican presidents, you know, they didn't care much about insourcing jobs, you know. Under Republican president, the outsourcing of jobs went skyrocket, you know. And even though incentives were there to bring back jobs and everything, you know, what they did after the set up dummy corporations have accounts off banking where they're paying the taxes and everything. And Democratic presidents, you know, try to, like, you know, close that loophole. You know, so when people talk about, oh, you know, Republicans are fiscal conservative and know what they're doing, they really don't know what they're doing.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And we can kind of go through, it was just to name the depressions. There was a depression of 2020 that was Woodrow Wilson. The recession of 1938, that was Franklin D. Roosevelt. The recession of 1945 was Franklin D. Roosevelt. It began in February 45, and then Truman took over in April 1945. The recession of 1949 was Harry S. Truman. The 1980 recession was Jimmy Carter. The Great Recession, Barack Obama, but that was inherited by George W. Bush. And then 12 of these recessions took place while Republicans held the White House. In 1923-24, the recession was Warren G. Harding. In 627, Calvin Coolidge, the Great Depression, like I said, Herbert Hoover. The recession of 1953 was Eisenhower. The recession of 58 was Eisenhower. The recession of 60-61 was Eisenhower. The recession of 69-70 was Richard Nixon. The recession of 73-75 was Nixon. It began in 1973. Gore took over in August of 74. The 1981-82 recession was Ronald Reagan. The early 1990s recession was George W. H.W. Bush. Early 2000s recession, George W. Bush. The Great Recession, like I said, that was George W. Bush, and then President Obama took over. So when you look at history and you look at the facts, because these have already happened, these are facts that you can look up, you can see that the Republican president, the Republican Party, is not fiscally responsible. They are not. So if you think that they are, you have to turn around, read something, pay attention to what I just said, because it's all true, because we can all go back in history and see it all. So the Republicans are not fiscally responsible like they claim to be.
Yeah, every time Republicans mess up, Democrats clean up the mess.
So. Absolutely. That's what happens. It's hysterical, really, when you think about it, you know. And, you know, the thing is that a lot of us, you know, you just don't pay attention because, you know, they're in there for 4 years, and if they get reelected, they're in there for 8 years, and then you forget, you know, what happened in those 8 years as time goes by. And, you know, but we just explain to you through the years what has happened. And it's always the Republicans because they are not fiscally responsible.
Fiscally.
I can't say it anymore.
Yes.
I'm done.
We just have over 35 minutes left. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, Communist, wherever. You know, this is your show. This is the people's show, and you have a right to voice your opinions. And, you know, if you disagree with us, no problem. We can talk about it. But if you're a Trumper who try to talk over us as hosts, then you'd be cut off, okay? So maybe that's why Pyong and company hasn't called recently because, you know, every time right-wingers come on show, they try to, like, upstage us and they try to, like, you know, run the direction of the show. We're not going to have that. You know, this is not Sean Hannity, you know, and this is not right-wing media.
Right. And, you know, David, we're here to enlighten people. We're here to state facts. We're here to learn things from each other. And we're hopefully enlightening other people that are listening. And we can, you know, possibly make them understand if they didn't know, maybe learn something new. So it's all good. I don't want to be in a situation where I have to, you know, argue and fight for things that I know that we can find the information and debunk them in 5 minutes. I just don't want to do that. I would rather try to educate our listeners. And if they learn something new, that's great.
And we want to say a special hello to Riverside, California, Rich. He called us 2 shows ago. He's a Christian and everything. And we really enjoy the call and appreciate the call. And, you know, like when you call us, call in. And, you know, Danny from Wyoming, he's another conservative, Trump Republican. You know, when new people call in, it's refreshing. We hear a different side. You know, we may not agree with it, but you know, at least be respectful and bring your points across and everything. And we'll have an open discussion, a polite discussion. Because, you know, we all want to learn from each other and have a conversation of how to move America forward in the most peaceful way. So, Colbert King, he's a Washington Post columnist, and he cited stark numbers of 2016 when Donald Trump handily defeated Hillary Clinton. The black votes saw its largest decline on record, dipping 59.6% in 2016 from 66.6% in 2012, according to the Pew Research and everything. So Obama got the turnout, while Clinton got the cold shoulder. The numbers tell all the stories. So what Donald Trump is trying to do now, he wants black voters to stay home so he can take back the White House. Do you think it's going to work, or do you think the black people show up for Joe Biden coming in 2024?
Well, I sure hope so. President Biden has their best interests at heart. So I would hope that, you know, they don't turn against him. I don't see what he's to upset them, you know, upset certain groups of people. I don't see that, and if anybody does see that, I wish they would tell me, because I'm not sure, you know.
Well, one of the things is the Hamas versus Israel conflict. You know, a lot of millennials were disappointed with Joe Biden for backing Israel that much, and it's like they don't understand that we have a history with Israel. They're our friends and everything, and Hamas is not Palestinian. You know, they're not for Palestine. They're basically a terrorist organization. You know, so we mustn't confuse it to where Hamas is Palestinian and all Palestinians, you know, support Hamas. That's not the case. You know, when we look back, 11,000 votes in Michigan were won by Trump, but 277 eligible black people didn't vote. You know, and in Wisconsin, another swing state, Trump won by 23,000 votes in 2016, but 93,000 eligible black voters didn't vote. Georgia was won by 200,000, but 530,000 eligible voters did not vote. North Carolina was winnable, but 173,000 votes Trump won by, because 233,000 black voters didn't vote. And doing a stop in Hershey, Pennsylvania, as part of Trump's victory tour after the election, he appeared to show gratitude for shrugged shoulders, the mindset of black voters, where, you know, that are disillusioned with Hillary Clinton, and, you know, I guess some wanted Bernie or another candidate besides Hillary. You know, this is how, you know, you shoot your nose, shoot off your nose to spite your face, you know. Either stay home or out of spite, vote for Trump or vote for a third-party candidate. And if we didn't have Trump in 2016 winning the election, where would America be as a country now? We'd be much better off.
I'm losing something in this conversation. Hillary won the popular vote.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
So I'm losing something in this conversation. And in Michigan, in the Detroit area, there was precincts where the people could not vote because they couldn't find their precinct. And that and Detroit and its close surrounding area is a is an area of color.
Yes, it is.
So where are these statistics coming from? Do we forget the facts that go with them?
No, not really. But, okay, she got the 3 million votes more than Trump. But in the long run, is Electoral College decides the presidency?
Yeah, that's what happened, Elaine.
I mean,
I know that's what happened. But I also know that we had a problem in Michigan that year. And Hillary didn't stand up there at the podium at midnight and say, I won, I won. She was gracious. She said the Electoral College spoke, I lost. She didn't have an insurrection like Trump.
No, she did not. No, she did not. You're absolutely right about that.
And there was a lot of hanky-panky going on other than Michigan in 2016. Where there was interference, the interference was in the Electoral College mainstream states. The rest of the states didn't have any problem because their Electoral College didn't count.
Yeah, it's like I said.
So let's remember the rest of the history to that. It wasn't because the black people didn't like Hillary. I can't buy that. I'm too close to Detroit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think so. That's true either. But, you know, I would love to see the Electoral College abolished. I don't know why they haven't even, you know, considered that. And just if you go out and vote, this way your vote counts. And maybe that's why a lot of people say their vote does not count, you know, because if you vote for a candidate and like Hillary got 3 million more votes than the Orange Monster, you know, that's pretty depressing. And today I was listening to a commentator and a discussion, and she was saying that how important it is this year to vote for a Democrat. You know, President Biden, we're just saying that he's going to be the nominee. You know, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure he is, but not. You know, we're never 100% about anything. But anyway, she was saying that she made a big mistake, and she said that she still, to this day, is so upset with herself, and she's not forgiven herself because she voted for third party, and she feels that mm-hmm. the third party, you know, helped, you know, Trump to win. So, I mean, mm-hmm. she was so apologetic about it. But at least she learned a lesson, and now she mm-hmm. is gunning for, you know, vote for the Democrats because look at what we have now because of Trump. Look at what happened to our country. So she apologized over and over. So that was nice to see that, like I said, like she learned her lesson, and she decided to talk about it and bring it out into the view of other, you know, people that maybe made the same mistake.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting back to the statistics, I know for a fact because there was a couple friends of mine that mm-hmm. she had come up from Florida. She had registered to vote in Michigan, and she mm-hmm. had her voter's registration card, but she wasn't allowed to vote in 2016 because they couldn't find her name in the computer.
Oh,
and
wow.
That happens in a lot of precincts. And it's really weird that that happened in heavy-duty electoral college states.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And the recent election in Mississippi, for example, for governor, Tate Reeves, back was against the wall and everything. And in Jackson, there are a lot of shorter ballots and everything.
Yes.
And what Mississippi did was close a lot of black precincts and minority precincts. So you do have a point, you know, and I disagree with you on any of that, you know.
No,
so
no.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you were reading statistics, David, and mm-hmm. statistics to me sometimes are just like these polls. I'm getting to the point mm-hmm. where I don't believe them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you got a hold of statistics that made it look like the black people all sat home on their thumbs and mm-hmm. said they didn't give a damn. They sure as hell did give a damn.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've been giving a damn. We've lost two leaders that are up in heaven who are probably standing there and have learned to cuss in the meantime because the Voting Rights Act has not been voted on and passed. And that's John Lewis, and I'm trying to think of the other gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Yes, John Lewis. And yeah,
and
I know
you
who
know
you're
who
talking from, Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so... yeah, we'll have 25 minutes left in the show, and I want to play this three-minute clip from Young Turks. The question was asked, if Biden wins the 2024 election, what would you do? And this is what the MAGA supporters said.
What would you think would happen to the country?
It would be destroyed. It's on that road now. It's on total destruction right now as we speak.
If he wins re-election, what would you do?
I mean, first, I guess I'm always going to say that something was happening. It's not right.
So there's no way that Trump could lose where you think it's legitimate?
No, I don't think he could lose. I think
no, but what I'm saying is if Trump were to lose, there's no circumstance that where you would think it was legitimate.
No, there's no way. I don't think it'd be legit. I think the other election wasn't legit. I thought there were some sort of things that were happening under the table.
But even though it, you know, 60 or 71 courts proved it?
I guess, but I don't know. That's how it goes. What I believe, I don't think he won, but can't do nothing about it.
We want Frank abroad. We want the border closed. Build the wall.
Tell me what about the building the wall is so appealing to you.
Right, security, securing the border, knowing who's coming across the border and what their intentions are. I believe in immigration, but the legal way, the legal pathway.
The people that are, most of the people that are coming across are going through our immigration courts. It's just there's...
No, they never come back to court. They disappear into the interior of America. They don't come back.
You talk about the courts. Objectively speaking, if there was wrongdoing, would you not want that prosecuted?
What's happening with the Biden family? What's happening with Hunter Biden?
Well, they've indicted Hunter Biden. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Why did they hide what was on that laptop and saying that it was Russian disinformation when the laptop was true? And they're hiding
it. What I'm saying is they've indicted Hunter Biden as well.
And what will happen to the rest of the Biden family that have taken all of this money from all of these foreign entities in these countries?
I don't know, because I don't know about that. I'm talking about there are indictments for Hunter Biden.
What I'm trying to make is, yes, if there's wrongdoing, the Biden family should answer to it, and so should the Trump family.
And so both are, right?
Both are what?
I mean, former President Trump has been indicted and Hunter Biden has been indicted. So it seems like there's a little bit of equal justice being made.
His father hasn't been yet, the big guy.
There are no charges against him.
Well, give him time. Give him the investigation. Let him investigate. Don't shut him down.
I think Congress tried to do with former President Trump, that the courts are doing now. And if there's smoke and they find fire, I would guess that they will do the same, right?
Well, you asked me why I'm here. I'm just here with friends, and we're going to go in. We're going to listen. I know a lot of his speeches are kind of redundant sometimes, but...
All politicians.
I think his message is good for America.
Yep, so there you have it. That's who we're dealing with. That's who's going to vote and everything. You know, should we be worried? Yes, because they're always bored. Whether it's, presidential year or off-presidential year, these people, through snow and hail and earthquake and whatever, they vote. So please, go out there, register, vote, tell your friend about it, tell your neighbor to vote, and vote Democrats from top to bottom of the ticket in your state, because this is how stupid these Trumpers are. You know, they believe anything and everything Donald Trump says, even though it's been debunked and proven otherwise. And he wouldn't have 91 indictments.
Indictments.
You know, and having four or five cases up against him. My God, he raped somebody in New York, E. Jean Carroll, have to pay $5 million for defamation and what have you. You know, this guy's not a good person. So why would you still support him after all this evidence, after all this? You still believe in this crackpot?
Because they don't believe it. She basically told you they don't believe it. When they listen to Fox News and all these other, you know, right-wing conservative, I don't know what you even want to call them. Misinformation.
Assholes, that's what I call them.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say they are anymore. But that's who they listen to. That's who they believe. Because they hear it over and over and over and over again. Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't even compare it. It's like dropping mm-hmm. a little pin in a pool in comparison to mm-hmm. Donald Trump. Not that I'm saying I would excuse Hunter Biden if he ever did anything wrong. No, because mm-hmm. he's not above the law. But I am just saying, if you compare apples to oranges, believe me, you know, it's not the same. Absolutely not the mm-hmm. same.
The hypocrisy mm-hmm. of all of it. Johnson and his son washed their computers for pornography, yet Hunter yep. Biden is such a nasty man, he had pornography mm-hmm. on his computer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrites
so
all
it,
the way down
okay?
the line.
Mm-hmm. Why is it okay for a speaker who's a Christian to surf the internet for porn and then Hunter Biden have porn? I mean, hey, to each his own, like I say. No judgment
and
here.
Hunter Biden's single.
mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you all watch porn, knock yourself out. Have a blast. No pun intended. You know? But, hey,
well,
you know, don't call out
that
somebody.
Man that he has to have porn and he's married.
I mean, like, you know, don't judge somebody when you're doing it yourself, you know? And that's a typical
that's
Republican
right.
thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're a Christian on top of that. So, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess this person from New York is rather shy and not going to say anything and rather listen. Mm-hmm. I hope they're enjoying the show. And we'll call back again.
Are they still listening?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes. They're on here.
Well, welcome aboard, New York. Don't be
yeah.
shy. Come on.
Especially,
do a little talking.
Especially,
I get tired of talking.
Yeah. And a special hello to Angry Soccer Mom. She's out there in upstate New York and everything, and mm-hmm. She had a YouTube channel, still have it. It's really good. It's about race relations
mm-hmm.
in America. Angry Soccer Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Implore people to look up Angry Soccer Mom on Facebook
mm-hmm.
if you still have a Facebook page, but I know definitely it's on YouTube and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're
mm-hmm.
coming into the last 15 minutes of the show and everything,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you know, Joe Biden hails first hostage release under Israel-Hamas deal, and he warns
mm-hmm.
of challenges ahead. So
mm-hmm.
President Biden on Friday framed Hamas' initial release of 24 women and children as a sign of progress, but emphasized that
mm-hmm.
the deal was just the beginning of the challenging road ahead as the United States worked to free the remaining hostages, including American citizens. So, blank,
mm-hmm.
I mean, hear me, oh, Lord. I'm reading about three different things one time. Quote, today has been a product of a lot of hard work and weeks of personal engagement, Biden said, speaking to Nantucket, Massachusetts, where he's spending the Thanksgiving holiday with his family. From the moment Hamas kidnapped these people, I, along with my team, have worked around the clock to secure their release, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden, you have to give it to him, because if Donald Trump were in this position, he'd take the side of Hamas, because we all know how, you know, so, oh, Hamas is smart, according to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you
mm-hmm.
praise a terrorist organization,
you know,
against your allies?
Right. And absolutely. And, you know, praise needs to be given to President Biden for this one. He didn't do it
mm-hmm.
alone. We know that Qatar and Egypt helped as well. And
mm-hmm.
but the thing is that he's trying to keep his promise. You know, he is working to keep his promise to get all the hostages released and back with
mm-hmm.
their families. And he
mm-hmm.
has not stopped. And he's trying to get an extension on this because
mm-hmm.
it's going to end, I believe, tomorrow. So on Friday,
mm-hmm.
24 hostages were released on Friday. Saturday, 17 hostages were released. And today, another 17 were released. So that's a total of
mm-hmm.
58 hostages. Now, I think there
mm-hmm.
was a little bit over 200. You know, they never really came up with
I'd never
heard like a solid number. So, you know, they put
mm-hmm.
a dent in it. Thank goodness for that. So in
mm-hmm.
exchange of, you know, having these hostages released,
mm-hmm.
they got 39 Palestinians released from Israel. They were being held
mm-hmm.
in Israel, and they were released
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
President Biden did say today that he's working diligently to continue with the release of the hostages. He's trying to get the stop, the ceasefire, because that's worked out so far very well, you know, to get these people out. They were warned not to go back to their homes because they probably don't have it, the Palestinians, during the ceasefire. We're told not to go back to their homes. Many of them probably don't have a home left. So I see a little bit of light in the tunnel, but with Hamas, we have to understand and we have to know that they are a terrorist organization. They do not value life at all. And for the people of this country to blame President Biden for the death of the children and, you know, everything that happened in Israel and then in Gaza, how can that be President Biden's fault? It's not. He did not, we did not attack Israel. Hamas attacked Israel. And and it's just like everything else. They start with just a little rumor, you know, about the Palestinians. And I'm not saying that the Palestinians are worth less or anything. They're human beings, and they deserve to be alive and to thrive just like everybody else. You know, but for some reason in this country, Biden got the blame for all the deaths that occurred. And how can he stop that? We're in the United States of America. We do not live in the Middle East. He does not live in the Middle East. He does not run the Middle East. So put that in
October 7th. Yeah, October 7th, Hamas killed 1,200 people, and Israel's response was killing more than 13,000 people. So the political challenge facing the president is far from fading as progressive-minded Democrats ramp up calls for a ceasefire, which he got. And a good thing is that 200 trucks has arrived in Gaza this past Friday, carrying fuel, food, medicine, cooking gas, and other things to help the Palestinians who get caught up in this whole bombing thing, you know? And we can suspect that mostly they're innocent people who have nothing to do with politics or Hamas or Israel. Or they just want to live their lives, you know? That's not asking much and everything. You know, so let's just hope there's an extension with a ceasefire and more negotiations can happen, because, like I said, if it were Trump in there, he'd be praising Hamas. He wouldn't lift a finger like he did do anything when COVID was here, and almost a million of our people died because of COVID, because of his garbage shit policies or lack thereof. You know, we're just telling people, you know, take a horse pill to kill the virus, you know, to inject bleach in your skin. I mean, that's madness. And for you to support this man in 2024, going into 2024, is just utter lunacy, you know? So hope for the best and hope that, you know, he chokes on a chicken sandwich bone and dies, because Donald Trump is not a good person. I'm sorry. No. I don't wish death on anybody, but this man here, I don't know. I'm even at a loss of words. Okay, so we're going to close out the show now. We have 10 minutes left. And we're going to play another little clip of Trump supporters. And the thing is, these Trump supporters are convinced that he never lied to the American people while he was in office. So I'm going to play a little clip, and then we'll come back and sign out and everything. And, you know, we're going to have a show tomorrow, same time. And I hope people join us then. And here's the clip.
Never done this before. I understand. Well, you're never going to forget your first time. So, so tell me, ma'am, what, you know, you talk about how you love him, you've followed him since you went down the escalator and all of that. What is it like? What's one thing he did when he was in office that you really loved?
He didn't lie to us. He never lied to the American people. He always told us the truth. He was the first president to ever be honest and tell the American people that he was on our side.
In the wake of what's going on legally for him now, where people are saying, well, maybe he wasn't as honest as he should have been, how do you square that circle?
I think he was honest. I've been following Newsmax and then I compare him, and when he says the fake news, and then we check that out, and he's right. So you can back up everything he's ever said, and he's never been wrong.
If he came up to you right now and he said, I want to have a heart-to-heart with you, what would you talk to about with him?
I would ask him, is McDonald's his favorite?
Is it your favorite?
No, I'm on a diet. Don't try it.
Good. And what if President Biden were to come up and introduce himself and say, hi, man, how are you?
I would be respectful of my elders and walk away or roll away.
And Georgia is the one I'm talking about. That seems to be where they're turning on him a lot.
Well, I don't remember who it was, but one of them did. She came out and interviewed and said, this is what the boss said.
Yeah, Jenna Allen.
The boss said. Well, the boss could be that guy for all I know. Unless you act, she's not saying Donald John Trump. She said the boss. The boss could be anybody. She's not turning. She took what
Bruce Springsteen.
She took the plea deal to save herself, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, she's still not saying Donald John Trump. She said the boss.
Will you give me your best impersonation?
I can't. It's embarrassing. I can't. I mean, other than the dance, you know.
Okay, hold on.
I love you.
He tells the truth. Might have bad mouth, but he tells the truth.
You know, a lot of people say that about him, and yet we hear these indictments. We hear the stuff that's going on. How do you match those two, reconcile?
Can't say on it. It's crazy. They need to drain the swamp and get rid of the one that's doing it because they're the ones causing the problem.
But even you have people in his administration saying that he was responsible for Georgia and things like that.
I doubt it. I really do. There's enough money that they pay them. If somebody give me a couple million dollars, I'd say what they want me to say too.
And what about the indictments? Does those bother you at all?
Absolutely not. We don't even believe they have any value, any truth to them. They're fake. Absolutely fake.
And I'm not madly in love with Trump's personality, but nobody would go through what he's going through voluntarily and still survive it. Most of us would have split from this kind of pressure like a rotten watermelon. And he's taken it, and he's taken it, and he's taken it, and he's supposed to have spent $100 million defending himself against frivolous.
Jenna Ellis, Kenneth Chesbro in Georgia have said that they were told to actually say something that wasn't true and that they would deny the result of the election. Does that bother you at all as far as being a Trump supporter or not?
No, I couldn't even really comment on that. There's so much he said, she said, misinformation out there on that. I mean, that'd be hard for anybody to really comment on that.
You now have former Trump administration officials that are saying that there were untoward things after the election, and there are all these indictments. Does that give you pause at all?
No. No, they're just going after him. They said they were going to go after him from even before his presidency last time. They've just been after him because he's such an outsider, and that's what I like about him, because he's not a politician.
But now he is, right?
No.
We saw some tape of Jenna Ellis and Ken Chesbro, who were part of Donald Trump's legal team in 2020 after the election. And they're saying some pretty damning things. Does any of what you're hearing bother you in terms of your support?
No. I think when you look at the big picture and you look at the alternatives that are out there, no.
Going back to Georgia, these people have said that Donald Trump told them to deny the results no matter what, and that people within his administration said, we're going to stay, Daniel Scavino. Is there anything to that, I mean, in terms of patriotism, in terms of the Constitution, that bothers you?
If, in fact, it was true, is there proof that that was true? I mean, that's just all.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there either, but I think that most accusations against Trump are simply people are afraid of him. The gravy train is going to stop, like in the Congress and stuff. People don't want him in charge because he exposes the swamp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. So there you have it. You have Trump supporters there, you know, sucking
brain
up
hurt.
Trump and pushing it everywhere. Yeah.
Who the hell
yeah.
did he expose? Oh, God.
My brain hurts.
Yeah.
My question is, why doesn't, like, the, this is the Young Turks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't the Young Turks go, why don't they to, like, Biden rallies? When there's, you know, when there are some rallies, I don't think there's been any yet, but why don't they make it so that they can go and talk to some Biden supporters and give the reasons why they will vote for President Biden? Wouldn't that be more productive than listening to these ignorant, brainwashed people? Wouldn't that be more
productive? Yeah, but I find it entertaining, really. You know, I don't really take these Trump people.
They lack education.
They lack critical thinking.
Yeah, but my problem with it is that those that are listening, that, you know, there probably are those that are listening to this, to that, and believe they are saying that they agree with what they're saying. And if maybe they listen to a different perspective, like, and they ask questions about President Biden, you know, and they can get some intelligent answers, it might change someone's mind. This, to me, is just
I doubt that very much because Cenk Uygur, the TNT founder, he's running for president himself as an independent. Good luck with that. I don't think you know, he'd get anywhere. But,
no.
Secondly, I don't think the Young Turks believe in what Joe Biden is doing. They don't think he's progressive enough, you know. So that's why they go out there and ask Trump people, you know, certain questions and what have you. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's kind of...
I'm just not happy about it. And they're not the only ones to do it. I've seen it many, many times, you know, different people. And, you know, I feel that it's non-productive because we need more support for President Biden. And this is just an ignorance. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
If
all
they're
right,
looking
I want to
for ratings,
from...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
If they're looking for ratings, why don't they do a comparison? It would be hilarious. It would be absolutely hilarious to do a comparison. You could say, you could have a split screen. Why are you voting for Trump? Well, he likes McDonald's, and I'm on a diet, okay? And then you ask somebody at a Biden function, why are you voting for Biden? And, well, we settled our strike in Michigan, and I'm a UAW worker, and I got a raise, and you know, da-da-da-da. And you'd get a laugh out of it, a bigger laugh.
Yeah.
Because
that's what
you say. You could see a definite comparison.
And difference between two people.
Productive. That's what I
think. Yes.
You know,
and that has to be the last line and everything. We thank everybody for calling in. Elaine from Michigan, the New York caller who'd rather listen and speak. And Khalil from the Commonwealth of West Virginia.
Hello.
We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same place. The topic will be Know Thy Enemy. I hope you can join us 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Hi, David. And this is Laurie Picka from Michigan. We'll see you tomorrow night. Check out our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. See you tomorrow. Bye now. Bye, Elaine. See you.
Bye.
I will leave you now with Bob Marley, One Love. Thank you.
Thank you.